Morning scripture is taken from Romans 12, 9 to 16.
Thank you.
That's the first part. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. The next one is from chapter 15, 1 to 7, Romans. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God.
So last week we got our toes wet on Beginning Hospitality 101, which reminded us that church growth belongs to God, and it is a movement that we celebrate and rejoice in, but when we make it a goal, we discover that this hoped-for movement of God can be about serving our own needs rather than being which is the opposite of what it means to offer hospitality. So today in Hospitality 505, we might get up to our hips maybe in the water instead of just our toes, which for a person like me who does not know how to swim makes it just a little bit more trepidatious, if that's such a word, and a little bit more scary, a little bit more important to pay attention to what's going on, and just a little bit more uncomfortable. But before we go any further into our topic today, we need to go back and remind ourselves that offering hospitality is not our idea in the first place, but instead a command we find in the Bible. We are reminded over and over that we were once all strangers. Abraham was a stranger in a land far from home. Moses refers to himself as a stranger in the land. And then there is the Exodus story of the people of Israel having been slaves in the land of Egypt, and then they leave the land of Egypt, and the laws given to the Israelites always command, but to the Israelites by God are always commanding them to remember that once they were strangers in a foreign land, and therefore they are to treat the strangers with respect wherever they are as well. In Leviticus, clear back as far as Leviticus 19, 33 to 34, we read, when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be treated as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This message is found repeatedly over and over throughout the Old Testament. And when we get to the prophets, it is one of the major condemnations of the people of Israel. The prophets speak in the name of God and say, you did not care for the widow and the orphan, and you did not welcome the stranger among you. And this is one of your major failings in your lives together. Then we continue to find this same theme in the New Testament, where we actually hear the words, offer hospitality. Romans 12, 9 to 15, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. And in Peter, 1 Peter 4, 9 to 10, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. So we have the commands, and we talk about welcoming, but what does that actually mean? What does offering hospitality to strangers look like? I came across some synonyms for the word hospitality. Here are some possibilities that could be traded equally across. Accept gladly, admit, as in admit, open up and allow them an entrance, embrace, greet, hail, receive, entertain, salute, bid welcome, roll out the red carpet. I have some friends in Denver who know how to do that very well. Their whole entire life is like rolling out the red carpet for any visitor that comes in their house. Show in or take in. And I thought, well, these all sound pretty normal. And then I happened to look down at the antonyms, the things that are the opposite of showing hospitality. And these were deny, dispute, exclude, refuse, reject, turn away, ouch. I think even reading the list hurts a little bit, doesn't it? So this still tells us what hospitality is and what hospitality is not, but doesn't exactly put too much flesh onto the concept yet. So let's go back to our beginning point for a minute. Just as we needed to shift from a church growth mentality that happens to serve us to a practice of hospitality that serves the other, so now we realize that offering hospitality means shifting our entire way of thinking about the stranger or visitor. Offering hospitality means that we plan and do that which will make a person feel welcome rather than that which keeps us comfortable or that which makes us happy. A church I pastored was a rather nondescript building. It had no identifying information on the outside of it whatsoever. Actually, my sister came to visit one time, and she said, "So where is the church?" We were parked right in front of the front door. So that's how obvious it was that this was a church building. And it was back in just a little bit from the street, and there was a sign, but it was kind of obliterated by the shrubs. And people couldn't find us, could you imagine? And one day a woman came in and she said she had spent like 10 minutes driving up and down the street trying to figure out where this church was. So we had a congregation meeting one time and we talked about this and said, you know, maybe we might want to think about how it would be, what we could do to make people feel a little bit more welcome. Maybe we could find a way to show them where the church is would just be one minor little thing, right? So we looked at the signage, and the city had very definite ideas about, very definite laws about what you could and could not do with the signs, and so therefore nothing could be changed with the location of the sign. But the upshot of the whole meeting was the sign was covered by the shrub, and the church was not willing to cut down the shrub in order for people to see the sign. So sacrificing a shrub was the goal there, was not the goal. The goal was more, you know, making sure the shrub, and this was, you know, shrubs and trees in that area were very important. People were very protective of their greenery. But it was kind of like hospitality got sacrificed for a need to have a shrub. It took back seat to the need for comfort and for what was familiar. Hospitality 505, true hospitality, actually shifts that. I have heard already some people at First Mennonite here talk about different things that we could do to make people feel more hospitable and welcome. One way was to start spelling out the acronyms in our bulletins so that nobody that walks in the door feels like they're drowning in alphabet soup and not knowing what it is we're talking about. So sometimes it could be just little things like this, or it could be noticing who is standing or eating by themselves and going to talk to them. The Sunday my cousins came to visit a few weeks ago, they were so excited that so many of you wanted to shake their hands. And they said normally at churches when they go in, there's only one or two people in the lobby that shake your hands to greet you. And here everyone was there and wanted to do that. And afterwards, I was a little curious because I thought, well, you know, normally I have to leave Sunday school early in order to get upstairs in time to greet and meet any visitors. And so I thought, wonder what happened that morning, why there were so many people for them to meet and greet, and realized that that was the morning that Tony Hartman from, it's not associated anymore, Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, was here during Sunday school, and he got done early, and so everybody was flooding the upstairs when people were coming in the door to come to worship. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if there was some way we could rearrange ourselves, our worship on Sunday morning, the way we structure things just a little bit in order to make it more likely that people would be in the hallways when people came that were visiting to show up. So that was just a few little ideas floating around. And another question. What might it look like to welcome the young adults and young families that so many churches want to do? And here I am assuming that we want to welcome the young adults and young families, not because of the children they might bring us, and also not because of what they might do for us, but because we really do genuinely want to welcome them as part of our congregation. So I have a paper here that was written by a friend of mine, Matt Shedden. He was another pastor colleague in Lebanon, at Lebanon Mennonite Church when I was in Oregon. And he put this in their newsletter. I do not know who the person is he is speaking about at the beginning, but I'm just going to read it to you. This is what he says. At this point in my life, I am still what the world considers an emerging adult, the period between college and early 30s. A demographic that is largely missing from churches. Recently, a friend of mine wrote an article asking why a church might want these people who are missing to come back. I think the article makes some insightful points about welcoming back emerging adults, but the reason I put it in the newsletter is that it draws the questions that we must ask when we want to reach anybody who is not like us, whether they be younger or older, a different race, or a different social class. So Matt invites us to take some time considering this. But this is what they say. If your church wants emerging adults to come back because you eagerly desire to understand the pressures they face in their complex and unstable world, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back because you believe that each generation and each person's journey towards Jesus is a unique path that will likely challenge and expand your own understanding of God and the gospel, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back because you want to expand your idea of community with people who may hold varying social, political, and faith perspectives from you, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back in order to help you connect your church with the globe rather than just with your country, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back so that you can learn different ways to teach, learn, and process the biblical narrative, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back because you need them to help you explore the gray area issues in order to take risks on behalf of those viewed as outsiders, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back so that you can use your power to advocate for them rather than getting them to conform, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back so that you can listen very closely to what good news means for them rather than you prescribing it to them, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back in order to hear them prophetically point out, often with honest questions, your congregation's contradictions between right thinking and right practice, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back because you are willing to let go of some traditions to create new ones, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back simply to be with them, letting go of grand ideas of reforming them, that is a good reason. If your church wants emerging adults to come back so that you spend more time laughing, crying, wondering, and changing with them, that is a good reason. And he concludes by saying, if you don't want many of these things, then it is better to be honest. You may not really want them to come back quite yet. So that's what their idea. Other millennials I have talked with are turned off by our fixation on ethnic identity and who is related to who and has what last name. Another way to welcome people is to remember that all of us are different, and while some of us come from certain ethnic heritages, not all of us do, and make sure that when we talk, we don't use words that imply all of us are alike. My own personal journey, I have found that when we use the word all and everyone, those words can be extremely painful and isolating if you are not included in the all and everyone everybody's other people are assuming to be true. I have talked to other millennials who say they want to make a difference in the world and want congregations where people do acts of service rather than talk about the need to serve. And yet, I'm also a little concerned when a individual millennial wants to speak on behalf of the entire group as well, because I'm sure within their group there is also great variety that is not being mentioned. But by now you have already noticed, probably peeking through the cracks of the discussion, yet another requirement of Hospitality 505, and that is that in order to offer hospitality, we have to be willing to be changed and to change. We change our mindset, our way of thinking, to be outward rather than self-centered, but also realizing in this process that we too will be changed. Every person who comes to us in some way changes us. It can change us as individuals, it can change us as a whole, and our choice is to embrace the change or to fight against it. The fear is often that we are afraid that we will lose our identity in the process, but I do not believe that is true. Offering hospitality brings with it a willingness to be changed, but it does not mean we are giving up the core of who we are. That is why God sends people our way in the first place, because we are a group of people who might be able to meet the needs and serve the other person. And it might also be that which attracts people and wants them to stay once they do show up. So what is the good news? I believe the good news is this. One of the core substances, part of the DNA of First Mennonite Church, one of those gifts that we have to offer and to shine brightly is our desire to offer hospitality to others. I believe we genuinely want to welcome others, and we try to do our very best at that. We don't need to start from scratch. It's already here. We're already practicing it in many ways. We already have this gift present. So now our challenge is just to notice it more, celebrate it, keep it burning, and see how to expand upon it. And also from what I have seen and noticed so far, and maybe it's the farmer context within where we lie, because First Mennonite Church is also not aversive to change or being changed. And I was thinking in farming, you have to be able to change all the time. Every day you have to might change what you're doing perhaps, or what you might have thought you were going to do. We might not think about it in the terms of changing, but we are flexible. We're willing to try new things. We are open to new people and new ideas. We don't need everyone to conform to one way of thinking and being. I believe that is also another one of the gifts we have to offer and to work on shining more brightly. So we're already well grounded in this gift of hospitality. Our goal and our challenge and our way to think is just to notice that more and expand upon it. Hospitality 505 has two major core objectives: to welcome and accept all who come our way, regardless of who they are, and two, to allow ourselves to be changed by God and by those God sends our way. We might not have aced Hospitality 505 quite yet, but I believe we are well on the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.